Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
This is Elon Musk. He's at the Code Conference, and they're talking about the reality between video games and real life, the virtual world and reality world. And they're asking the question, and this is that technical jargon type stuff, but they're asking the question, are we really here? Or are we just some sort of digital imagery? Is this wild? This is the inventor of PayPal, owner of Tesla on the board. Mm-hmm. Government hires him to send rockets in there, and they're answering this question. We don't fully necessarily know that. Let's take a look.
There's a sort of a philosophic concept that a sufficiently advanced civilization will be able to create a simulation. Yeah. Maybe you've answered this before? A simulation.
I've had so many simulation discussions, it's crazy.
Okay. So,
in fact, it got to the point where basically every conversation was the AI/simulation conversation. And my brother and I finally agreed that we would ban such conversations if we were ever in a hot tub. Okay. That was like, because that really kills the magic.
Hot tub. So the idea is, right, any sufficiently advanced civilization could create a simulation that's like our existence. And so the theory follows that maybe we're in the simulation. Have you thought about this? And
a lot.
Are we?
Even in hot tubs.
No.
So much so it had to be banned from a hot tub.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not the sexiest conversation.
Are we in?
I think the strongest argument for us being in a simulation, probably being in a simulation, I think is the following. Call it 40 years ago, we had Pong, like two rectangles and a dot. That was what games were. Now, 40 years later, we have photorealistic 3D simulations with millions of people playing simultaneously, and it's getting better every year. Mm-hmm. And soon we'll have virtual reality, we'll have augmented reality. If you assume any rate of improvement at all, then the games will become indistinguishable from reality. Indistinguishable. Mm-hmm. Even if that rate of advancement drops by 1,000 from what it is right now, then you just say, okay, well, let's imagine it's 10,000 years in the future, which is nothing in the evolutionary scale. So given that we're clearly on a trajectory to have games that are indistinguishable from reality, and those games could be played on any set-top box or on a PC or whatever, and there would probably be, you know, billions of such, computers or set-top boxes, it would seem to follow that the odds that we're in base reality is one in billions. So tell me what's wrong with that argument.
Is the answer yes?
The argument is probably. Is there a flaw in that argument?
I'm not sure what the error. No. The argument makes sense. So the assumption then is that somebody beat us to it, and this is a game.
No. There's a one in billions chance that this is base reality.
Oh, okay. What do you think?
Well, I think it's one in billions.
Okay.
That seems to be like clearly what it suggests.
Right.
And actually, I mean, arguably, we should hope that that's true, because otherwise, if civilization stops advancing, then that may be due to some calamitous event that erases civilization. So maybe we should be hopeful that this is a simulation, because otherwise...
Because they could reboot it.
Well, otherwise, either we're going to create simulations that are indistinguishable from reality, or civilization will cease to exist. Those are the two options.
These are grown folks. These are grown folks having this conversation.
One in a billion chance that this is real.
This is the inventor of PayPal. I'm a very smart man. Having the conversation is, we can only hope that this is not a simulation. This is a simulation. Which means that we're not real. And if you read the book of Revelation and you read Daniel, That's exactly what happens. Remember, it's the image of the beast. Image is something that made to look like the real thing, but it's an image of the thing. It's not. He says they worship the image rather than the creator, right? The creation rather than the creator. And you're seeing that take place. And the reality is it's painful to have a relationship with people.
It costs.
It costs. And so if you can create some sort of mechanism that never causes you pain, like we had a program before, we almost lost all of our interns. They're watching that program we're doing it on. But it was called Her, whatever the whole thing was, is the computers are talking and their kids are having this relationship with the computer. This man has this relationship with the operating system. And all of a sudden, it sucks all the knowledge out of the community. And this is.
And then he was devastated when the computer dumped him.
He, along with a lot of other people, that was being used. And it's like these computers don't know anything until you tell them something.
Mm-hmm.
And as they're learning from you in your day to day life. And this is what Mark Zuckerberg said, the founder of Facebook. Is obviously like 20, 21, 29. Mm-hmm. He said that Facebook will be smarter than a human being now as be 4 years.
Yeah,
smarter than a human being. Well, I know that Pat and I can say right now, it's been smarter than us a long time ago, right? Is Pat okay? But that's saying something.
Yeah.
And here they're saying we don't really know where we're simulated or real. By the way, it's real. Hell's real. Heaven's real. God's real. And we have to wake ourselves up and come to this real thing, like get a real job, make some real money, and pay some real bills. I mean, this is the real deal. And we get back. We're going to hear Ray Kurzweil after. I got an offer for you it's an encouraging offer when you think about for your partnership of any amount, because power, there had this artificial fiction stuff and people think something's actually happening, but it's really not happening. You know, you think about how thin, like this is a foam, and you look how thin that is, but people look at the flat surface and they're seeing something come off of it and they're having all this emotional. You know, I was just talking to somebody. Oh, what do they look like? I don't know. I was texting. So that's not talking.
Yeah.
That's texting someone. And, oh, I don't talk. Oh, my goodness. They don't even use phones to communicate anymore. They just kind of type back and forth. But the predictions that Ray Kurzweil is going to make, what 2020 is going to be like, will be amazing when you think about that. Well, the difference between all this simulation and this fake stuff and all that, is our God is real. He's living.
Mm-hmm.
His word is active, living, active, sharper than a double-edged sword. There's power in the kingdom. And without you moving in power, there's going to be no difference. The world's going to think in you, in a Ray Kurzweil or a Elon Musk or somebody. The difference is that God's real and you've been walking with God. So you have to move in power. That's what this offer is about. It's about, you know, time to get rid of the hindrances that hinder love and power in the kingdom of God, because Paul says, I come to you not with mere words, but with power, with mere programs from Elon Musk and all these guys. I come to you with power. Power is going to have to happen. As a matter of fact, you know, with Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries, he's talking about this and he says, you know, several of his books, we have it available for you, but he's like, you're going to have power. There's no way that you're going to be able to advance the kingdom without actually moving in the power of God. And God wants to do it. We just got to quit relying in technology and relying on what we know and begin to have faith in God. And faith requires risk. You could take the word risk and faith, and they're interchangeable. But some people say, I got faith, but I'm scared half to death to take risk. And it's like, that means you don't have faith, because faith is actually moving in what you know. It's a movement or an action.
We'll be right back.
Born on May 12th, 1820, Florence Nightingale is undoubtedly the world's most famous nurse, known as the Lady with the Lamp for her compassionate late-night rounds among the wounded in war.
But did you know she's the author of many books on medical and nursing subjects, doing much to elevate the image of nurses working in English hospitals, considered at the time to be places of degradation and filth?
Florence Nightingale believed she was called to aid the poor, a calling that ignited her commitment to train nurses and work for reform for the poor. She frequently referenced Luke 1:38 to summarize her calling. It is such a blessing to have been called, however unworthy, to be the handmaid of the Lord.
Engage with the Bible in the stories surrounding this book of all books.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
First, I want to go back to Urbana and look at these young folks. And God's kingdom is going to go no matter what, mm-hmm. go on. And they come together at Urbana. And I'm trying to show you this so you can see who actually Francis Chan is talking to, because he's going to be talking in a moment. But take a look. This is Urbana, and what they're doing is they're coming together. Take a look.
When I leave Urbana here, I especially learn something new, and that I leave with a different mentality back to my hometown.
I never would have expected myself to be here. If you had asked me 5 years ago if I was going to be in ministry or if I was going to be at Urbana, I would have told you no. And I think the story that I could tell to people would just be how God completely 180'd my life. I think that story is just more magnificent, and it's getting more and more interesting as every day passes.
We're at Urbana!
And I'm going to be your coach for the week.
All right, Urbana, are you ready to get started?
We've had the opportunity to just gather together and worship in the languages of everyone, and there's nothing like standing next to my brother and sister who is of a different ethnicity than me and worshiping in their language.
Right now they're looking at what that next step is, and it's a really critical time to be trying to figure out what God's will might be for your life, whether that means you're integrating missions into some other career or you're looking into a career in mission, period. God can use you either way, and will use you in a huge way.
God has been doing amazing things, expanding our world views and just opening our eyes to what the global church is and how there is a need for us to be part of that.
She realized the purpose of her life is to pour out her heart in sacrificial, selfless, satisfying devotion to Christ.
We are not watching alone. Jesus stands with us, watches with us.
At the end, we will have the victory.
Matthew, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him.
God is not looking for spiritual giants. God is looking for those who carry spiritual lamps that will shine for him.
The direction is scary, you know, where God wants you to be. I'm so used to living comfortable where I could just sit at home and watch TV all day. That's not what I'm called to do as a Christian, you know. I'm supposed to stand up for justice. And that's what this conference has, you know, showed me a lot.
For me, with like the technological skill that I've been blessed by God to have, it can be used to impact people's lives. It can be used to change people's hearts and show people God's kingdom.
I am with you. It doesn't matter what the cost is. We are family.
God is calling me to share my story with other people. I really feel that here in Urbana, because I have that community and support group. That's important to me, because the struggles that we go through, we all need to be together, united as one.
Can freely dignify every person, because that is what God does.
Urbana, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. And we are here asking God for more workers.
The commitments I feel like God has really called me is definitely going back to my roots, my Latin American roots, and definitely see the issues that are going on there.
Like, what direction is God leading me in my life? What does he have to say to me? Do I have what it takes to say yes?
Wisdom allows mistakes. It also combines learning with prayer, with submission to God and passion to serve others.
Brothers and sisters, you and I are called to tell God's beautiful story, not just on our comfortable campuses, not just in our neighborhoods, but also to the ends of the earth.
I found freedom!
Yes!
I found forgiveness!
Yes!
I found wholeness!
Yes!
I found the joy!
Yes!
Yes!
Urbana.
Wow.
Think about it. It is the one of the largest student mission conferences in the world, and it has been around for a while.
Yeah.
It was when Francis Chan was young, it was still around. Then he's young now, but he thinks he's not. You think everybody, first response is, they think, I can't tell them the truth, because if I tell them the truth, it'll be too hard for them, and I'll offend them, and they won't listen to me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But Urbana, if you listen to the content of what they hear, Urbana, they hear the absolute, pure, outright words of God, in a loving, kind way, but just outright. And I had the privilege of being at Church of His Presence in Daphne, Alabama, Friday, I think it was, and it was a whole gathering that John Kilpatrick Ministries had together right there. Dutch Sheets was there. And he was given a prophetic word, and we'll be having that prophetic word coming on soon. But when he spoke truth and what God was saying, and he always wants to preach an encouraging message, but he tells the truth. He's always told the truth. I could just feel a ripping of the atmosphere. I could feel the heavens ripping open.
Mm-hmm.
And open heavens, which won't.
That's right.
And this whole atmosphere, people are like, oh, don't make me feel bad. Don't, you know, it's like, forget all that. I mean, if the truth makes you feel bad, Jesus is the truth. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you don't love him and don't want to follow him, but the truth should actually, you should rejoice in the truth.
Because now you know.
And I could hear, I could feel the heavens just ripping over us.
Mm.
And it was only with those words that were tough about, you know, here it goes, and just like, you know, we got to deal with this. You know, it's a prophetic warning about, you know, that we've been doing for quite some time. It's encouraging to know that when we do speak truth like we do, and he showed us that if you'll continue to do what we do at VFN TV across the Gulf Coast and across the world, that changes atmospheres. And we've seen evidence of the atmosphere changing. And, but I want to challenge you, come be a part of what God's doing. Come be a part. Join us at VFN TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go to VFNTV.com and contact us. You know, go to VFNKB.org and find out if you want to be, you know, in VFN Kingdom business. They ask Jesus, what are you doing? He says, I got to be about my Father's business,
right.
The kingdom business. There's something for us to do. It's not just for us to sing to each other and change the carpet color and do an Easter play. We're supposed to do something, and we need to do it quickly. And we're seeing things happen right now in the political arena. And the things the Lord has shown us is so severe, we can't even say it. First of all, people wouldn't even believe it. Because we know that, because we say quite a few things that's happened. But this is so severe. I mean, the carpet, the floor is going to be snatched out from under everyone if we don't wake up.
Yeah.
Everything that you're standing on is going to be snatched out from under you, and you're going to be stunned and shocked. But if you'll go back for the years that we've been on TV and the years we've been on radio, and you listen, you go to the VFN Torch, you'll see we've said it all along. But these people rocking everybody to sleep and telling them what they want to hear and you know, giving itching ear words, it's like, that's not, this is what was said, that God has shown that people are going to stand up and they're going to look at their pastors and say, why have you been lying to us? Why didn't you know about this? And some they'll be saying, thank God you heard and we have prepared. But they said, we're not going to, you tell us the truth. If you're not going to tell us the truth, we're out of here. We got to know what God's saying. And by the way, if they're lying to you, they don't know. They can't hear from God, because they could hear from God. They would be rebuked for lying. They don't care about you. They're lying to you. But you can find out, pick up your Bible and everything that we say and find out for yourself. It's a personal relationship with God. It's not through a priest or a pastor. They're just to lead you to God.
We'll be right back. This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
The ability for abstract reasoning is diminishing in our time. When you really start with a minor premise and a major premise, build a syllogism and enter into a deduction, the average person loses you halfway through because they have come to their conclusions on the basis of images prior to that, and the capacity for abstract reasoning has been gone. And I believe Jacques Ellul, the French sociologist dealing with technology, is right when he entitles our ability to perceive today as a process where there has been a humiliation of the word. The exaltation is in images. The humiliation has taken place in the written process.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org. Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
This young generation you just saw at Urbana, they heard a direct message from David Platt. You got to understand David Platt. And Francis Chan. And listen to what Francis Chan said to them. You saw the fruit, what they said. My life's been changed. I found forgiveness. I found salvation. I found purpose. But what did he tell them? I'm just going to be able to share a part of it with you. We'll make the whole thing available to you. But listen to what these young people heard. The largest student missionary gathering in the world. Mm. Listen to what Francis shared with them now.
I just want to take a moment and just soak this in. I mean, think about the fact that in this room there are thousands of people who are spending their Christmas break and spending their money trying to figure out how to give their life away. That's an amazing thing. And that's a huge, huge thought. I was back there just trying to remember where I was when I was 18, 19, when I was those early years of college, just trying to figure out, God, where are you sending me? What do you want me to do? And there was so much of me that was afraid of that question. There was so much of me that was afraid of the authority of Jesus Christ. When I think back to my life right now, you know, I'm at this age where I'm almost 50 and I'm looking back and going, gosh, what would I do if I could relive my life? Been asking myself that the last few weeks. What would I do differently if I could go back to where some of you were at? And there's so many things I'm uncertain about, but one thing I'm sure of is like I would have had a greater focus on getting to unreached people. Like somehow, if I could relive my life, I would devote so much more of it to getting this good news, this message, to people who've never heard about Jesus Christ. I just see that throughout the gospel. And honestly, I feel like in some ways, I've spent far too much time speaking to people who've already heard the gospel thousands of times. And just trying to be more creative and hit that same few million people over and over again and trying to get that message to them. And man, I'm praying for you. I'm praying because there's such a pull here to live a comfortable life, to make a name for yourself. And it's so easy to forget about all those people who have never heard the gospel of Jesus. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I got so fired up about this and said, yeah, I can't go back. But what am I going to do with the remainder of my life? And I told my team, I go, you know what? This next year, 2016, don't take any more speaking requests. I want to devote myself the rest of whatever time isn't booked up already. I have to use it to get the gospel to people who've never heard before. I don't want to just entertain Christians. And so when I think of thousands of you that already have this mindset, Urbana was around when I was in college, but I didn't want to go. I was scared. I don't know that I was ready to give up my life. Back then, we didn't really talk about this a whole lot. It was just about praying a prayer and, oh, you get to go to heaven now and we're done. And now just live your life. Try not to have sex until you're married. Then try to have sex. You know, but until you're, you know, that's just all we talked about. Hey, try not to swear. Try not to drink. You know, don't get drunk. You know, keep yourself pure. But this whole idea of giving your life completely to God, surrendering to the authority of Jesus Christ, which is the very essence of the gospel, we didn't talk about it back then, at least not where I was. And so it thrills me to see you here. And it's exciting to see that some of you have come here hoping to just give your life up to God and say, God, anywhere, anything. God, how long you want me to live just another 5 years on this earth? That'd be great. You know, is that it? You want me to go somewhere and risk my life and it's just going to be over? That anything, you're so worthy of that.
This is so important. I mean, you think about it. Americans, we think everybody already knows already. Hmm. And what we're finding out, even Americans don't even know.
Yeah.
They just say they know it all. They say they know everything already. We're going to be held accountable for this. We're going to be held accountable for this. Too much is given, much is expected. A radical jihadist terrorist comes to America to get his inheritance. He gets in a car accident. He's planning on killing us. He finds Jesus instead and falls in love with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Nobody told him about Jesus. He didn't know about Jesus till he came to kill us. And when he came to kill us and take his inheritance, he got in a car accident. His name's Kamal Saleem. And they led him to the Lord. They showed him Jesus. I mean, think about it. Think about this. We have to tell them. We have to tell them. Let's spend the rest of the days that God has given us doing what he said. Becoming a disciple and making disciples. Going into all the world. And you can do that by partnering with VFN TV. You can do that by joining us on Emmaus Road. You can do this by abiding. But you got to get busy. It's your life. You'll have to answer for your own life. You'll have to answer for it. I can't answer for your life. Your husband, your wife, your daughter, your son, your father, your pastor, your preacher, your priest, they're not going to answer for your life. They're going to have to answer for their own life. This is God's mercy and grace coming to you at this one moment saying, you know what? I want it to be better for you at the judgment seat. I want it to be better for you. I want you to shake off this American religion and realize it's just like the red letters say, I got to get busy and become a disciple of Jesus Christ, to know and to follow his teachings. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at vfntv.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.